Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God.
Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. You may be seated. But I welcome you all here this morning for this service of thanksgiving for the life of Alfred Rutherford, who we know more so as Alf. And we trust that as we're gathered this morning to remember Alf, that we shall know the presence of Almighty God among us, and that the family will know something of God's comfort and support and his peace as you're attending this service, remembering your family member. And we give you our sympathies to all as a family, especially to Peter and Susan, and to Ian and Joanna, and to Ben, Charlotte, Lauren, Abigail, Dylan, Luke and Megan. And we know there are some that would wish to be here today but are unable to come because of distance or because of their health. And we think especially of John Armstrong, who is now 98 years of age and still attends the church but would love to have been here today. And others as well, and so the service is being recorded or video so that they can view it at a later date. The family would like to pass on their thanks for the expressions that have been given, for sympathy and for your attendance here today, and also especially to the staff at Craigielea for all they've done in their care for Alf over these last few years. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come to you at the commencement of this service, giving you thanks for Alf, for his life and for his testimony. And we pray in particular for the family and for those who knew him as a friend and those who knew him through the fellowship of the church. And we ask that as we go through this service and through this day, that you will speak into our hearts, that we may know your comfort and your peace in this time of sorrow and loss. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand to sing our first hymn, which is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Oh, my soul, praise him for me.
portions of scripture that we're going to read together. First is from Psalm 103 and verses 8 to 18, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 to 18. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with him to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Pray that God would bless the reading of his word. We're going to have three eulogies now. First of all, on behalf of the church here, Norman is going to come and give a eulogy, and then on behalf of the family, first Ian and then Peter.
Alfred Rutherford, promoted to glory. A life of dedicated service. He set the highest of spiritual values. He was a man motivated and moved by the Spirit of God, and sadly of a generation of godly men, almost gone. There's not many. His spiritual influence, especially in ministry within our church, this church, is incalculable. God led him to Emmanuel Pentecostal Church, his very good friend and Christian companion Bob Quinn once told me, Alf could have advanced his career anywhere else. He had chose to make this church his spiritual home, which he did. Always an elder and at one time superintendent of the Sunday school, and when required, took over the leadership of the youth meeting. Our pastor of the church for many years. His ministry always of the highest spiritual standard. He's always addressed as Mr. Rutherford. It was in later years everyone called him up. His opinions and decisions at times difficult to take. Yet he always meant it, I'm sure, for the good and advancement, especially of the church. In many ways, a very private person. Yet if you glimpsed Pastor Rutherford exterior, and the lads understand what I mean by that. If you glimpsed past it and tried to understand the man. He was a man of fun and often frivolity in public, especially at church parties and in our days out as a fellowship. Alf and Joan opened their home to the young people of the church every Sunday night, a valued time of fellowship. May I add, although it's a eulogy from the church, a personal note of a special relationship from 1954 in the Sunday school until visiting him in the care room. Always my favourite speaker, and his favourite author was A.W. Tozer. He always talked about Tozer. Matthew, well, the words of Jesus, a very valued friend, the words of Jesus say it best. Matthew 25:21. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord and rest.
Well, thank you so much for coming today to share in this service of thanksgiving for the life of Dad. It was a life well lived. There was the strong and committed love for Mum and for the whole family. The powerful example of faithful witness, prayer and worship, and an inspiration and role model for so many. A wise counsellor, a loyal friend, a talented painter, a constant gardener with a mischievous sense of humour, a great person to have a conversation and a meal with. I'm full of gratitude and appreciation for Dad, and have loved reflecting over this last month on some wonderful memories. And about our special places, especially Loch Ness and Loch Linnhe and the Isle of Skye. I wish I was there. And the hymns and the readings today are some of Dad's favourites, but he only left one funeral instruction. Dad told me years ago, and reminded me often, that we had to play a song as his coffin left this church, sweeping through the gates to the new Jerusalem. Well, one of the verses speaks of the start of Dad's own faith journey. These are they who in their youthful days found Jesus early and in wisdom's ways proved the fullness of his grace. At the age of 16, Dad committed his life to Jesus at a Boys Brigade Bible class led by his Uncle George. I heard that testimony many times, and I guess you did too. We know him as Dad and Granddad, but for others here, he is Uncle Alf. Pastor, father in the faith, mentor, brother Alfred. He was a perpetual encourager. I think seen especially when he and Mum opened their home every Sunday evening to the young people of the church. And countless friends of mine from school and university pay tribute to his guidance and direction in those spiritual times. Dad's was a life of service to others. From those early days running that Sunday school in Cox Lodge, to pioneering new fellowships with Mum, Bob and Sheila Quinn in Wrighton and Durham, to his long connection to Emmanuel here, first as secretary, then elder with John Armstrong, and finally as pastor. And he was a huge support to all the pastors over the years, Mr. Barker, Bryn Barrett, George Stout, Bob McGowan, and to those that followed his time here. But it wasn't just here that Dad ministered. He was a gifted soloist. Can you remember him singing? He was a powerful preacher. He was very much in demand across the whole district. He led Bible studies at Billy Rowe Methodist Church near Crook and Millbourne Methodist Church near Ponteland over many, many years. He played a key role in the Scripture Union in the 1970s, helping Peter Lee, Ian Hoare and John Stevenson. He and Mum and Auntie Jenny were the cooks and the house parents for the beach mission at Sea Houses and Beadle in the 1980s. And Dad was one of the coordinators of the Churches Project at the National Garden Festival in Gateshead in 1990. Quite a life. Mm-hmm. And it affected you, which is why you're here with us today to pay tribute. I rang my dad every day. He caught me up with things at Craigie Lee. We're so grateful for the superb care of Dad over those last few years. And then he asked me about my day. In that last week, he was very quiet, and I had to strain to hear him on the phone. But as we finished our last conversation the night before he died, I said to him, "God bless Dad." And he said, as clear as day, "God bless you, son." I'll take that blessing. Because Dad was a huge blessing to me, to our family, and I'm sure to you. Thank you for everything, Dad. You have fought a good fight. You have finished the race. You have kept the faith. There is now in store for you the crown of righteousness.
A big thanks for me for you all coming as well. We don't look too bad, do we? We've all got a bit older. I know I'm looking over at Tim and Ian, but I'm certainly coming back in this church, which has changed quite a bit. But it's a pleasure to see you all. Thanks very much for coming. And again, you know, it's great to see you. So I'm the younger brother. I don't have a Netflix deal, and I'm not writing a book. But I did have the smaller bedroom. But seriously, this is the time when you just remember all sorts of things, actually, don't you? As Ian's just said, and all sorts of moments. You know, Dad, in his later years, followed the Rutherford family trait of shrinking, becoming very small, very frail. And those of you who saw him in the last few years would have noticed that. And when you look at pictures, like the picture on our program today, you know, you look and see how he really became very small. But I think the thing about Dad is that for us, he'll always be big. He'll always be big. The platform has changed. It used to be up here. Dad and others didn't need a microphone. As you've just heard from Norman, you know, he had a big voice, and sometimes those words were encouraging. They were always encouraging, but just in different directions, I guess. And many of us remember the times when he's given us guidance strongly. And as Norman says, you know, the lessons we learn in life, the best ones, are the ones that we didn't really want to learn, but actually needed to. Yeah. He had a very big voice, and much to say, many, many good things to say. His voice could get him into trouble now and again. He often used to visit us in Wales, and we took him to a football match, and we took him to watch Wrexham, where it's always sunny, of course, and we were watching Manchester City. So Dad sat down, Ben, Dad and I, and Dad started an argument with the man next to him, because he couldn't understand how he, as a Geordie, who hadn't been to a football match since 1956 when Newcastle won the cup, was supporting Wrexham, and the man from Anglesey, a Welsh speaker, was supporting Manchester City. So we had to separate them. But that was Dad, always a big voice expressing an opinion, but then encouraging, and I think probably shouting even louder for the team that he was supporting. He was very big in his values. You know, in my kind of career in the last few years, the big word out is about resilience and getting through. We actually heard that in the second reading today, about that resilience. Well, Dad lived that before that became a trendy word. You know, to leave school at 14 and then become a deputy chief scientist was very impressive. But the values that he brought alongside him are ones which are part of our family DNA actually now, of fairness, of everyone being equal, not treating with equality, but really being equal, everybody. That sense of duty, that you've actually got to do things even when you don't want to do them sometimes. These are the values. That resilience and that amazing life that, again, as Norman said, that generation has gone. You know, two of our best friends who can't be here today, we had Christmases together, and Dad would come for the Christmas dinner. Their two dads, the two parents, our two friends, both their dads were there as well. They were all from the north of England and had moved away. And it all had been his dad's history. Left school early and then moved, but all had careers, all had done things. And that was always entertaining. You know, three old men who were deaf was an interesting Christmas Day experience. But they lived out together so much experience and so many good values that all of us learned. But he wasn't stuck in the past. Dad was very big at being up to date, as Ian said. You know, his awareness of the news. Sometimes he struggled with what had happened that day, but he always had an opinion on Brexit or the various scandals afflicting the Conservative Party, or just the things going on in the world, and the support that he kept on giving for issues abroad. He always had that in him of being up to date. I still remember him sledging with Ben down an ice slope when we lived in the US, and I realise now that he was older than I am now, and I wouldn't have done what he did, but he just, you know what, we'll have a go. And his grandson encouraged him a little bit, I have to say that. You know, and lastly, you know, Dad had a big heart. He had a big heart, he cared. And, you've heard, he gave to many of you. Many of you here know this more than I do, as well as in our family. That Dad deeply cared about people. And he didn't just talk about giving prayers. He actually gave the practical help at all. So although in his latter years he became small and very frail and very quiet, in our memories he'll always stay as Dad is. He's very big.
Thank you. He'll be very proud of Wrexham at the moment. by Father Rexon a little bit too. I just want to share a reflection this morning based on the limited time that I have known of. It's only just been 3 years, but also based on what I've heard others say of their memories of Ulf as well. And to me, as I've known him in that short time, and from the things that I've heard in the past and I've heard here this morning, there's no doubt about it that Ulf was a man who lived a life that was aligned with the Word of God. We all know how difficult the last few years have been, in particular, not 2020, 2021, with regard to being able to visit loved ones and friends in hospitals and care homes. And as difficult it was for those who lived outside, so to speak, to go into visit, I don't think we can ever imagine what it must have been like for those who were suddenly become isolated from the outside world, from their friends and from their family, and some of them probably not even grasping or understanding really what was going on. And I can recall my first visit to see Ulf at Craigieley. Previous to this, as I said, I've only met him a few times because I only arrived here in the northeast from North Wales in February 2020, and the pandemic broke out within the first few weeks. And on that first visit to the home, my wife Elaine came with me, and we had to stand outside the back door, and it was very cold, and Ulf was brought to sit just inside the doorway with a blanket on, and that's where we had our limited conversation. The next visit, when I went, it was inside, but behind glass. Then eventually, opportunity came to be in the same room, albeit wearing the garb and everything else. And it was on one of those occasions when I was able to speak with him face to face in the same room that I asked Ulf a question. And I asked him, what was his favourite portion of scripture? The reason why I asked him was twofold, that on that visit I had my Bible with me and I wanted to read it to him. But secondly, I said, once you've told me what your favourite scripture is, I will prepare ministry on it and I'll preach on it in the church. And so he gave me the portion of scripture and I read it with him. And then over the next few weeks, for 2 weeks, I actually spoke from that portion of scripture. When I was on the phone with Ian concerning the program for today, he said that he and Peter hadn't yet settled on any scripture readings. And so I interrupted the conversation, it was on the phone, and I related back to the conversation that I had with Ulf back then in August in the home. And Ian immediately responded with these words. He said, "You saying that has just sent a shiver down my back. That was one of the scriptures that we were considering." So then he said, "Well, that now is a must. It must be read at the funeral service." And so we've read from that portion of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's a long chapter. That's why I spent 2 weeks looking at it when I spoke from it or preached from it. But I just want to reread a couple of the verses, verses 16 to 18. It says there, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." See, despite all the problems that Alf had in relation to his health, there was no doubt whatsoever that Alf knew what it was to be daily renewed inwardly. In fact, on my last visit to see Alf, which was just a couple of days before Christmas, Alf didn't know who I was. I explained who I was at the beginning. We had a conversation for around 35 to 40 minutes. Then I read the scripture to him. On that occasion, it was Romans chapter 8. And then I prayed with him. And as I read the word of God, he was recalling and he was reciting the word of God as best as he could. And he was joining in with an amen and a praise the Lord, both while I was reading the scripture and while I was praying with him. And then as I got up to go, he said to me, "I still don't know who you are." After 40 minutes. Well, let me tell you something. That it didn't really matter whether he knew who I was or not. What did matter was evident. He may not have known me, but he certainly knew his Saviour. It was clearly evident that although the outward was perishing, the inner man was still being renewed daily. How come? Well, the answer is found in the fact that at some time in his past, Alf had realised that he was a sinner who needed a saviour, and he committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew at that moment that he was dead in trespasses and sins, and he knew that Jesus could forgive him, and he knew that Jesus could give him new life, abundant life, and eternal life. And at that moment that he surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, his inner being, his spirit, his soul, whatever you may want to call it, was made alive again. And throughout his life, since that moment of conversion, he has not only been fed physically, but he made sure that he was fed spiritually. Evident through the many years that he has committed himself to the fellowship of this church. And not only is he fed himself spiritually, but because he was able to spiritually feed those who came to this church. And when the moment came, when he couldn't function in this way any longer, because he had continued to feed on the Word of God and had been in regular fellowship with other believers, he was able to draw from that in the long and difficult days that have followed, especially during the course of the COVID restrictions. See, Alf was a man who had taken his eyes off the things of the world and he had fixed them firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew in his heart that while he was going through these last few years with its complex health issues, the body failing and giving up, that his faithfulness in it all and through it all was achieving for him an eternal glory that would far outweigh anything that he was going through while he was found here on the earth. And on Thursday, January the 19th, 2023, at the age of 91, just a few weeks before he would have reached his 92nd birthday, the outward man that was perishing finally gave up. But at exactly the same moment, the inner man became more renewed than it had ever been before, because Alf slipped out of his body and he went into the presence of his Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And he was reunited with Joan, his wife, who had preceded him to glory back in 2008. See, the pain came to an end. The suffering came to an end. The frailty came to an end. But the joy he had known as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ suddenly became exceedingly great joy as he saw his Saviour face to face. Our first hymn that we've sung this morning started with the words, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation." The second line goes on like this, "O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation." And this is what Alf is doing at this moment. He's not in there, that's his earthly remains. He's in the presence of Jesus. He's praising his Saviour. He's enjoying full health. He's enjoying the fullness of the salvation that he had received when he accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And I believe that if Alf could speak to us at this very moment, he would say to us, as he stands face to face in the presence of the Lord God, his Creator, he would say to us from the words of the hymn, "All you who hear, brothers, sisters, draw near, praise him in glad adoration." And at the same time, I believe he would say to anyone here today who has not yet given your lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, Alf would say, "All you who hear, draw near, give your life to the Saviour, for this is the only life that is lived and fulfilled with real purpose. And know for yourself what it is to be renewed daily, inwardly. Because Jesus is the one who makes the difference." Amen. We'll stand to sing again, and we'll sing the second song, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want."
You are in me and your arms.
Lord God, the almighty creator of all things, we know that you are from eternity to eternity, and yet you created time and space. You it is that has given us life, and you it is who takes from us that life. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who came into this world to bring us eternal salvation and hope. We thank you that you are also a God of comfort, and we ask that you will stretch out your hand of compassion to those here today who need comfort. For the family of Alf, his two sons, his daughter-in-laws, his grandchildren, and extended family, draw near to them, we pray, and for those who through other association had come to know and love Alf as did his family, extend your mercy and grace to them as well. May your peace fill our hearts and sorrow be replaced with joy. We ask this through the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have remembered Alf, and we give God thanks for his life, for his devotion as a husband, father, grandfather, pastor, friend, and his testimony to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we just stand for a moment and pause as you think of him in your own personal way? Almighty God, in your great love, you crafted us by your hand and breathed life into us by your Spirit. Although we became a rebellious people, you did not abandon us to our sin. In your tender mercy, you sent your Son to restore in us your image. In obedience to your will, he gave up his life for us, bearing in his body our sins on the cross. By your mighty power, you raised him from the grave and exalted him to the throne of glory. Rejoicing in his victory and trusting in your promise to make alive all who turn to Christ, we commend Alfred Rutherford to your mercy, and we join with all your faithful people and the whole company of heaven in the one unending song of praise, glory and wisdom and honour be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll sing the final song, O Thou Who Camest From Above, and please remain standing afterwards.
You are in the love of God.
opportunity for donations to be given as you're leaving the building, and the donations will be shared between Kidley Research and Craig Elaine. The committal is to follow at the Preswick Cemetery in Ponteland, and all who wish to attend may do so, but for those who prefer to stay behind, tea and coffee will be served here while we wait for those that have gone to the cemetery to return back to the church. Heavenly Father, as we leave this your house, we pray that we will go with your blessing. And as we make our way for the committal, come with us and hallow those moments with your presence. Continue to pour your peace and comfort into our hearts. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, at least be on the chilly way.